sean San Juan, sean Palmo. Want to thank Questum for his kind words of welcoming us here, and my friend Renee for her kind words. I was thinking on the way over from the ferry, I knew they were going to do this, and boy, it's kind of almost like being at a eulogy, isn't it? Let's hope let's hope we don't put you all to sleep. Want to thank you for being here this evening, and also recognize our relatives and my relatives here in the Coast Salish territory. My traditional name is Thalfit. Came from my grandfather. My uncle held a traditional ceremony to pass that name through to me. And I'm from Cowichan on Vancouver Island. So this evening I wanted to start by thanking all of the co-sponsors of this event. Our great friends at Lawyers Rights Watch, who have been tremendous supporters and allies in the work that we're doing, to Amnesty International, who have been such great supporters as well, and to the Vancouver Public Library for giving us this opportunity to share these messages with a broader range of the Canadian public, and share, I think, some important issues that hopefully you'll be able to use and understand. And you know, at the end of this, we hope that we'll have created enough understanding that the level and the base of support will continue to grow. I've had the opportunity to speak at a number of law schools across the country, and a number of human rights organizations, and I think the support for what we're trying to accomplish continues to grow. And so I think it's important that folks like yourselves are here to hear the message, and hopefully to be able to assist in spreading the message. So this evening I'm going to spend some time talking about the work that the Halkomelem Treaty Group is currently engaged in. And we're currently doing work before the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. And I'll talk a little bit more about them as we move on in the presentation. Here you'll see a collage of photographs. In the center is a group photo of the chiefs and delegation that have traveled to Washington, D.C. So the Inter-American Commission is located in Washington, D.C. They're part of what is referred to as the Organization of American States, of which Canada is a member. So we've been to Washington, D.C. now on three occasions to appear before the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. On the right, the fellow in the red vest in the center is our lead legal counsel, Robert Williams. Robert Williams is a Lumbee Indian from the United States. He currently teaches at the University of Arizona. And the other photographs are members of the Inter-American Commission. And so, as I say, we've had the opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. on three occasions. The Halkomelem Treaty Group has six member nations. So the Cowichan Tribes, the Halalt First Nation, the Lake Cowichan First Nation, Penelicut Tribe, Lhaxan First Nation, Tsimminas First Nation. There are over 6,000 members of the six tribes. We live on Vancouver Island, on the east coast of Vancouver Island. So from just south of Nanaimo in the Ladysmith area down to Duncan. So, and then over onto the Gulf Islands is the area that we currently live in. This is a photograph of our latest group of leaders that travel to Washington to appear before the Inter-American Commission, some of our chiefs and elders, our legal counsel, and one of the members of the political executive of the summit, and also the chief of the community just north of us, the Sanamoth or Nanaimo First Nation. The issue that takes us outside of Canada and why we're seeking justice elsewhere has a long history. When the province of British Columbia entered Confederation, there was a negotiation that took place. And the outcome of that negotiation was one of the conditions that British Columbia had put forward to enter into Confederation was that the province would be connected to the rest of Canada by rail. So at that time, there was a debate going on in the late 1800s about whether British Columbia would become part of Canada or whether British Columbia would become part of the United States. And it was decided that they would become part of Canada, and that, you know, this precondition, or one of the preconditions, was that they would be connected by the rail. They brought the rail here to Vancouver, but the political process in Victoria wanted it brought to Victoria. And so there was a fair amount of negotiation, disagreement, arguments, whatever, going on between the federal government and the provincial government. And I think British Columbia at one point was threatening to withdraw from Confederation that quickly. It was eventually decided that initially they wanted the rail actually brought across the strait and then down. But that was cost prohibitive. So what they decided, and the way that they resolved it, was that they would build a railway from Nanaimo to Victoria, and then they would connect Nanaimo to Vancouver by ferry. The way that they financed it was that British Columbia granted to Canada 2 million acres of land. And the 2 million acres of land was the bargaining chip that they would use to construct that railway. So the 2 million acres of land you can see is that pink area on the east coast of Vancouver Island. When you look at this map, the area in green, and then that one area that's in kind of yellowy is the Nisga. But the area in green represents the crown land in British Columbia. So you can see that in British Columbia, probably 80-90% of the province is crown land. The areas in kind of that reddy pink color is what is referred to as private land. So you can see that one of the largest blocks of private land in the province is in fact that east coast of Vancouver Island, which was the subject of a 2 million acre grant to a private railway company. So at the time, an individual named Dunsmuir was a coal baron in Nanaimo, and he was quite closely associated with folks in Victoria, and he was able to secure the contract to build a railway from Nanaimo to Victoria. The payment was that the ENN Railway, as it became the Esquimalt and Nanaimo Railway, was given private fee simple ownership to the 2 million acres. So they got ownership of that land lock, stock, and barrel. All the minerals, all the trees, all the land. That was done without any consultation, without any compensation, without any discussion with the First Nations. And since then, That 2 million acres of land has simply gone from one corporation to the next.